You're listening to Banal Leakage, Episode 2, CES 2014. Hello again, welcome back. This week, we were at CES 2014, the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, Nevada. This is an annual event that's been going on since 1967 that showcases electronics. It's open only to those who are members of the consumer electronics industry, and each year I usually try and go. I have a good history of going since 1992, although there was a 10-year period where I did not go, and I sorely missed it. So I've been going back the last 4 years now, and I enjoy it each and every time. My feet kill me, but hey, you know, walking the show floor, 10,000 exhibits amongst 150,000 attendees, it's a natural thing for your feet to hurt after a while. So what is at CES? Well, mostly televisions, audio, car audio, gadgets, pretty much any consumer electronic item you can think of. There's a booth that showcases it at CES. As for my involvement in going to CES and what I did in the consumer electronics industry for years, I started in 1991 with a newsletter focused on PDAs and palm tops called Take It With You. I also expanded that into a magazine in 1995 called Portability. And I did a lot of tech writing for a lot of different magazines, such as Computer Edge in San Diego. I attended each CES from 1992 to 2001. And then my absent period was 2002 to 2010. As I said earlier, I really miss those 10 years. There a lot went on. Both in consumer electronics and my career. I was not focused on consumer electronics during those 10 years. So when I went back in 2011, it was nice to be able to return and walk the show floor and see the different exhibits and everything that was happening. Alongside the display of the many consumer electronic items, they also have parties at night hosted by tech giants like Samsung and LG and Panasonic. This year was no exception. I attended 5 open bar parties and 3 nights. Let me just say that my liver got a serious workout in Las Vegas. And on that note, let's jump into the news section here. Televisions were the big hit at CES this year. They showed up on the scene last year, but this year, a ton of manufacturers showing off 4K televisions. LG was one of the main manufacturers showing their sets with a new operating system called WebOS. Anyone remember WebOS? The one that Palm created for cell phones back in 2009? Well, LG bought the WebOS operating system and adapted it as their new operating system for smart televisions. The interface was pretty cool. It showcased different cards, like apps like Netflix and Hulu Plus, that you can move around and you could select with just the click of the little joystick on your remote. The crowd seemed to like the LG WebOS interface, and I think it should be a pretty big hit when the TVs start arriving this summer. Samsung showcased their 105-inch curved Ultra HD, which is also known as 4K, television, a curved television. Amazingly enough, from a certain viewing angle of about 13 feet away, this gives you your picture just an absolutely incredible view of everything that's on the screen. It's crisp. You cannot see a single pixelation on anywhere on this display. Prices were not announced for this television, but I can imagine that at least $10,000 will be the asking price for this television when it does go on sale later this fall. The television was announced at Samsung's keynote event, which was introduced, or I should say partially introduced, by famed director Michael Bay, who had somewhat of a panic attack on stage when the teleprompter went haywire, and after about 3 minutes, he simply just walked off the stage. Aside from the transforming director mishap, this 105-inch curved television has an aspect ratio of 21:9, which is an increase over 16:9 with current 1080p HD televisions. This is truly the future of where television is going. Not a single 3D television was found at this year's show. At least I couldn't find any. Thank goodness. 3D was a failure in the consumer electronics industry as far as I'm concerned. Just overrated, overpriced, and just not practical for home viewing. Electric vehicles were also on a large scale at the show this year. Anything from charging stations to new cars by Ford and Mitsubishi and self-driving cars implemented by Google were all the rage this year. It was an incredible sight to see. How this fits into the consumer electronics industry is most of these cars are electronically driven and have apps that usually tie them to the cars and how they can either self-drive, their charging status, and various different other forms of electronics that make these cars modern pieces of machinery. Also making a big splash at this year's CES show was wearable computing devices, mostly smartwatches and fitness trackers. Companies like Fitbit had their versions of fitness trackers that track not just steps, but also your sleep patterns. Other vendors showcasing their fitness wearables were Jabra, who normally makes headphones, and Jawbone, showcasing their long-running wristband Up. Smartwatches from the likes of Pebble and Samsung were available to view. I think this is a future technology that could make a breakthrough, but I also kind of give a little bit of pause, and I think a lot of people are giving it a pause, waiting to see what Apple, who was not at the CES show, will do with their rumored iWatch. Most of the fitness trackers by these companies hover around the $100 to $130 price range. So when you take a smartwatch by the likes of Samsung for their gear, which it retails for $300, kind of makes people pause and take notice to see what the future is going to be with smartwatches, constantly wearing a device that not only could translate to caller ID or other phone notifications, but also something that people may or may not use in the future, you know, as far as other than features of fitness tracking, like a pedometer to track their steps that they take each day. There was no shortage of celebrities at this year's CES show. Television mainstays like Nick Cannon and Maria Menounos were there to represent the consumer electronic industry in many facets. As for celebrities I got to meet, Christopher Lloyd, better known as Dr. Emmett Brown from the Back to the Future movie series, was at a Gibson event celebrating 120 years of Gibson guitars. He arrived at a press event the first day to the Gibson tent outside the Las Vegas Convention Center in a restored DeLorean time machine. Oh my God, it was so awesome to see Christopher Lloyd arriving in a time machine complete with smoke coming out, and the crowd went nuts. They let those of us that were standing in line, we got to actually sit inside the time machine in the driver's seat. It had a quote-unquote working flux capacitor, and it was just so cool to see. I'd never seen a DeLorean time machine before, as far as like from the Back to the Future series. So it was really cool to get to see this and to actually touch and feel and sit in it. Another brief celebrity meeting was Vince Neil, best known as lead singer for the hard rock band Motley Crue. Vince was at the show to promote Marshall Stacks and Marshall headphones. It's a typical kind of fan meet and greet type of thing. You get less than a minute to say hi, love your band, love the music you play. He signs his name to a picture, And they escort you out and let the rest of the people that are in the long line to meet him come in and spend their 30 seconds of fame. So, and speaking of Motley Crue, they actually had an announcement on January 9th that they are planning their farewell tour. In an event titled Rest in Peace, All Bad Things Must Come to an End, that will be held on January 28th in Los Angeles, all members of the band will be addressing their plans for this farewell tour. Both Nikki Sixx and Vince Neil have talked about this in 2013 at various press interviews, and it's no surprise that the band does plan to actually end on a high note. They recently finished a residency in Las Vegas in October, and I think that this farewell tour is going to be a huge deal. They kind of poked fun at bands like Kiss, who have had numerous farewell tours, by saying that they want to go out with one farewell tour and then they're done. Now, part of this announcement talked about that they might be open to a concert here or there, or, you know, even working on newer music, but from a farewell thing, they really want to give the fans one last time a showcase of this massive band. I have been in awe of how this band and their years of debauchery, drugs, sex, rock and roll, alcohol, death, everything, but yet all four members are still alive and still playing and still active. You really got to give it to the hard living band. I mean, they give Guns N' Roses a run for their money in this case. And actually seeing Vince Neil in person, you know, he looks pretty fit. I mean, he was out of shape there for a while. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, were wondering, gosh, did he just kind of let himself go? But, no, he's came back. He looks good. He looked really good. I think that I'm, as a big fan of the band since the beginning, since their first album in 1981, I'm excited to see this band again. I've seen them several times over the years, and there is nothing short of a kick-ass show. And now it's time for my rant. In last week's episode, I was elated about the judicial decision that brought same-sex marriage to Utah. But as with all good things, some bad has to happen. And unfortunately, the U.S. Supreme Court issued a stay on Judge Robert Shelby's December 20th ruling. This not only brought a halt to same-sex marriages here in Utah, but also our wonderful Governor Herbert decided to pretty much invalidate these marriages. He decided that the state was not going to recognize these legally performed marriages during the 17 days here in Utah that same-sex marriage was legal. Unlike the state of Utah, Attorney General Eric Holder announced that the Obama administration and the federal government would recognize these legal same-sex marriages performed in Utah for all federal benefits under marriage. All right. You know, I've made this statement before, maybe not on this particular podcast, but in real life and in my writings and bloggings. Marriage needs to be federal. States have proven over the course of time that they don't know how to manage marriage properly. Their marriage is based on the majority, not the minority. As we've seen in many cases, the courts have had to decide over and ruling over the majority of the people to extend marriage rights to those who the states have previously denied access to marriage, such as the Interracial Marriage Act, Loving versus State of Virginia in 1967. Not trying to compare gay people to interracial marriage, but these same arguments have been made over the course of time, and each and every single time that the majority decides marriage rights, there are people that get excluded from it, and it needs to stop. I'm sorry, states, you've proven that you cannot manage marriage properly for all. This is about equality, not exclusionary. And this week's shameless plug is one of my blogs, Adult Beverages, found at adultbeverages.net. And if you haven't already guessed, it involves everything related to alcoholic drinks, imbibing, bartending, mixing drinks, visiting bars, drinking events, tips, all sorts of different things. The blog itself has been around since September of 2012, but it's not seen a lot of traffic, a lot of activity over the course of that time. That will change in 2014. So bookmark it, plan to visit it, and enjoy the content. And down goes the second episode. Thank you for listening. Any feedback, email podcast@banalleakage.com. We'll see you all back here next week, and remember, if you can't be specific, just be random.